This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
There's been some new developments in combating E. coli-contaminated food. Purdue University researchers infected fresh spinach and ground beef with nearly 10 million cells of E. coli and treated the food with a combination of three types of viruses selected for their ability to kill E. coli quickly and efficiently. The treatment killed about 99% of the bacteria within 24 hours in ground beef stored at room temperature. For refrigerated ground beef, the number of E. coli decreased by nearly 68%. It decreased by 73% in undercooked ground beef. For spinach stored at room temperature, the bacteria was reduced by more than 99.8% at different time intervals. Purdue professor of animal science Paul Ebner said this treatment is a way for harnessing the natural antibacterial properties of phages that eliminate E. coli and other important foodborne pathogens. He says this therapy will make contaminated food safer. The latest calculations from the United States Department of Agriculture have pegged the season's average cash price for corn in the nation at about $4.60 a bushel. It's a number an ag economist at the University of Illinois tagged as the new normal price about half a decade ago. Todd Gleason has more on the relationship.
When the price of commodities began their meteoric rise higher in the mid-2000s, the agricultural economist at the University of Illinois made some calculations. Daryl Good and Scott Irwin laid out a new trading range and season's average cash price. Those are still posted to the FarmDoc Daily website. The old average for corn was $2.42 a bushel. The new price was closer to $4.60. As it happens, $4.60 is now the expected season's average cash price for the sale of corn harvested last fall. One could say, then, that if the $4.60 is truly the new long-term midpoint cash price for corn, then it must correspond to a new end-of-the-year supply number. USDA has that number at 1.3 billion bushels. Daryl Good thinks that's pretty close.
1.3 billion bushel carryout, the way you would characterize that is a comfortable carryout. It's not tight. It's not restrictive. It's certainly not a surplus of corn. And so it's a manageable level of inventory that I think most people would be happy with year in and year out. Obviously, it doesn't provide a large buffer if we do have another short crop anytime soon. At the same time, it's not a burden to the market in terms of overwhelming supply. So, you know, a carryout of 1.3 to 1.6, somewhere in that range, and a price of $4.50 is probably what you would expect as average in this new era.
Having said that, Daryl Good concedes that in individual years, he cites the past three, the market will vary from that target. However, he's confident each time it varies, the corn market will retreat to the midpoint, $4.60 for cash corn. There are new midpoints for soybeans and wheat, too. Those are $11.04 for soybeans and $5.80 for wheat. I'll round and repeat. The new midpoints for the Central Illinois season's average cash price for corn are $4.60, $11 for soybeans, and $5.80 for wheat. You may read more on this topic from Daryl Good and Scott Irwin on the University of Illinois FarmDoc Daily website. Search Google for this phrase, New Era Crop Price Distributions. The phrase again is New Era Crop Price Distributions. I'm Todd Gleason.
The theatrical launch of the documentary Farmland occurred on Thursday at the 2014 Tribeca Film Festival in New York City. U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance CEO Randy Krutz said the film will be released in more than 100 theaters across the country on May 1st. Krutz said one challenge and a priority for the USFRA has been getting the attention of theaters and broadly distributing the film to the public.
That's a real focus of ours as we go through the summer and into the fall to make sure that Farmland is in venues where some other films that maybe don't share quite as practical and realistic look of agriculture have been for several years.
People who have viewed the film so far feel like they know the farmers and ranchers featured in the film, according to Krutz. He says the film also touches the hot topics in agriculture that garnered different opinions from a variety of people.
We're not going to shape that opinion in an 80-minute film, but you can begin to get people to ask more questions. And that's what we really hope for, is that as people walk away from this film, that they really want to learn more about food production.
USFRA looks forward to the national release of farmland, and Kraut says USFRA is happy to be part of this project.
The subjects in the film have been absolutely wonderful. They're actually covering a lot of venues, so we're thrilled with what their participation has been. We've got an Academy Award-winning documentarian that is out there with this film, and we're just excited to have a tool like this that perhaps opens up the consumers' hearts and minds about food production.
If you want to learn more about the documentary, you can visit farmlandfilm.com. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Farmers, meet your new hired hand. Country Financial is getting together with AgriVisor to package grain marketing and crop insurance to maximize farm income. With AgriVisor, there is finally a grain marketing management system that is dedicated to improving your bottom line. Combine it with crop insurance from Country, and you've got a winning combination. To find out more, contact your local Country agent, Wayne Schaefer, in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 498-5800.
Attention farmers, for help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 854-6706. They have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. They provide speedy and reliable service, and you'll find the staff friendly, courteous, and ready to serve your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706. Visit ctemi.com for more information. Carlinville Truck Equipment.
You only get one chance to leave your mark on the land you love. Your farm is your life. The choices you make, the seed you plant, will all affect the legacy you pass down to future generations. So choose a brand with a legacy all their own, FS High Soy. The first proprietary soybean brand, High Soy, has been a part of the land for nearly 50 years, so no one knows the territory better. So grow proud and pass it on. Talk to your local crop specialist at M&M Service Company, powered by Green Plan Solutions. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
How would you like to have a personal spokesperson speaking up for you on issues you care about? That's something you can count on if you belong to Illinois Farm Bureau. With ongoing public relations campaigns and advertising programs at state and county fairs, in news conferences with top farm and political leaders, and daily contact with media, the Illinois Farm Bureau provides an exchange of the latest up-to-date information available to and about the farmer. The Farm Bureau really tells the farmer's story. Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means more.
FFA students keep busy all year round by attending various events and competitions. Stephanie Hartke, a senior at Gillespie High School and member of the Gillespie FFA chapter, was in the station to give a rundown on the competitions their FFA chapter attended over the school year.
We've gone to quite a few contests and we've done really well this year. We have an outstanding senior group and our freshmen this year have just amazed everybody, I think. First contest that we went to was forestry, and at forestry we have to judge different types of trees. We have to ID them, and then we have to find different heights and logs in them. And our green hand team actually placed second this year, so we were very impressed with that. Freshmen, they have been paying a lot of attention in class, so they've been doing a good job. Our varsity team actually placed second as well, and we're super happy with that. We're always happy to place, but it's always good to be within the top five. Our second CDE that we went to this year was horse judging, and I'm impressed with this one because we do not usually do so well with horse judging, but this year we had an outstanding team, and our green hand team actually placed first this year, and we had a first place individual winner who was Matt Ballard, so they were really, really impressed with the green hands this year. And then our varsity team placed second this year with horse judging. So we're all very, very happy about that one. We also went to Dairy Foods this year in December, which happens to be my favorite contest. And we placed first this year, which my goal since my freshman year has to been place first at Dairy Foods. And we did it this year. And it's good to have it this year because now being a senior, it's really nice to know that I finally accomplished one of my goals about winning a Dairy Foods competition. And our green hand team also did really well with it too. They actually placed second. So we were extremely happy that night when we found out that we won Dairy Foods. So
why is Dairy Foods your favorite competition?
That's a good question. And I really don't have an answer for it. It's really a fun contest. I don't even like Dairy Foods all that much, except ice cream and milk. But at Dairy Foods, we actually have to try different types of cheese, which I usually just look at it and guess because I don't really like cheese a whole lot. But you also have to do a mastitis test, and you have to judge that, and then you also have to do a written test and just judging like milker head units and things like that. So it's kind of unusual. It's unusual for me because raising Angus cattle, going to dairy foods, is just kind of unusual. But it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it, and I know other people really like it a lot too. So it's a good time.
And even though I am a dairy person, I can sympathize with not enjoying all dairy products. I'm not a huge fan of cheese either, and I get a little bit ostracized from my fellow dairymen for it, but it's okay.
It's definitely interesting, definitely. I don't know, some of that cheese that they do, they've got blue cheese and kids making faces at it and stuff, so I'm glad that it's not me.
All right, let's get back to the rundown of contests here.
We also went to poultry judging this year. And our varsity team plays second this year, along with our green hand team. They also play second. And with our freshmen, we had one placing first individually, and that is Alex Wells. And we were all really, really excited about that because poultry is something that, Nicole Miller, she raises chickens, and she's, you know, proud of that. And it's just kind of cool because every time that we do stuff like this and we get better at it, it's a good thing for our freshmen to help them get involved and encourage them to join FFA. And then the final competition that we went to, we actually went to horticulture judging, which was just a couple of weeks ago. And we went to our section contest at Highland, and we placed first there. We also had people, all of our teammates were within the top 10 individuals at the contest. So we were really, really, really happy with that one. Then we went to the SIUC Invitational, and we placed first there. So we are extremely happy with that, and we will be attending State Horticulture on April 25th, which is next Friday. So we're very happy about that. We're excited and can't wait to go.
Well, congratulations to you guys. It sounds like you had a really busy year.
We did, definitely.
Again, that was Stephanie Hartke of the Gillespie FFA chapter. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.